Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Obi Trice, real name, no gimmick. Two trailer park girls go round the outside. Crack it, baby! Round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Guess who's back again. Jamie's back.
People, where we are, because I don't remember. Where are we?
We are at KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Nick.
It's a wonderful morning. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Boy, have we got stuff going on. We had a safety meeting. We had an ROV meeting. But the highlight of the meeting was the new liberal in town, and we're going to play him.
Oh, we have a new one.
Oh, yes, yes, but he's going to be way to the end of the show. I don't want anybody to miss this dude. I mean, oh, my goodness. So, I wanted to play this clip about Bernie Commons.
Yes.
Mary Rickards, very proud project up at Bernie Commons for low-income people. What a success it was. I remember a big write-up with Dave Bender, one of the idiot news medias around here. You got Shasta Scout, you've got a news cafe, and you've got the Record Searchlight. And
Private-public partnership is what they call those.
Yes. K2.
Yes, with K2, yes.
The public doesn't have any interest in it besides helping pay for it.
Yes.
And K2 is going to reap all the rewards for it. It's got a guaranteed clientele with HUD, although Doge is getting rid of HUD.
Well, that would be a good thing.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But we've got this clip coming up from Leslie Sawyer, and she has firsthand experience with Bernie Commons. Go ahead. Dave wants to play Eminem some more.
I know.
We're in here rocking and breakdancing. Are we ready?
Leslie Sawyer. And that's our last speaker. I love when the people who talk to you about wasting funding come up here and waste so many minutes complaining about the same things over and over.
That would be the liberals.
Anyway, I'm not going to tell you whether to do this, not do this. I appreciate you, Mr. Palmer, for asking the questions, doing the research, and gathering the data. What I would encourage you to do and why I'm up here, Corky, this is for you. The two of you, if you want to look into this and gather data and truly do some other studies that might affect your decisions moving forward, when it came to Bernie Commons, they were sold a lemon. They were told as a community, this would be housing for the people who work at Sierra Pacific. This would be housing for the people who work at PG&E. This would bring people into our community and build a stronger base. It did not. The community and the neighborhood around it, I was up there during that year while it was being built, and I watched the devastation as it happened. I watched as when you give free to people, they don't respect it the way that they would if they worked for it and earned it. And I watched as that entire community around it ran to shambles. So if you want what I'm willing to do and why I came up here, I will help the two of you put together a town hall to ask those questions and see how a complex like Bernie Commons has actually impacted that community. And because that's your district and because you're gathering the data and doing this research, and I'm one of your constituents, so as somebody in your purview, I would be more than happy to schedule that and coordinate that and work with the two of you on that. But what happened with Bernie Commons was a huge promise, and Mary was a big part of it, a huge promise to a community that ended up devastating it.
And sure, that's our last speaker.
Thank you.
So, there you have it. There is Bernie Commons from the eye of a person that was living right next to it.
Well, you know, whenever you make this air quotes low income living, you get low income and they don't pay for most of the rent. And so, you know, they're not as vested as somebody who's working their ass off and paying full boat. So it doesn't surprise me that another government private entity, is not doing well. That seems to be a very common theme when those happen.
Isn't that what's built downtown Reading and has built, being built out in Shasta Lake City?
Yep. Yes, it is. It's K2, I think, on all of them. And downtown, it's interesting, is the reality. You know, it looks nice. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that that does kind of stay well maintained, but I have my doubts 10 years from now.
You know, a friend of mine that's in the construction business told me they're very cheaply built. He didn't have nice things to say about how they're going to look in 20 years.
That's what I said. In 10 years, we'll see how they fare in 10 years. You know, it'll be like a Chinese car. You know, you get it shiny, and then the first time you open the door, the handle falls off.
And you can't get parts.
So, yeah, interesting on Bernie Commons, because that was one of Rickert's, you know, she triumphed. That was a great success, and it'd be interesting to get more information for our next show. I'll be heading up to Bernie, actually, Thursday to list a property, so I'll take a look and drive by and see and get you a firsthand update.
Yes, I was going to drive by next time I'm up in that part of the country. But you know what? I remember the I think it's the Vineyards down south of town, just down by Sweetie's Cafe. Good place to eat. And Kim Moore was coming in and complaining about the lack of upkeep down there. So I drove by and I thought, man, this place is kept up pretty nice. So I asked Kim, I says, what's going on? It looked good to me. And she says, oh, they keep the outside looking nice. Look inside. In the courtyards and that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
And then she explained how the water system had gone to hell and all the landscaping's dying and that and this. So sometimes...
Well, there we go. We start off the day with a government private entity thing blowing up. So I'm sure there's more of that coming.
And it's not low income housing anymore. It's affordable housing.
It's like they're not homeless. They're unhoused. It's just words.
And they've you know, I wonder how many homeless we would have.
Unhoused, please. Unhoused.
That's
please.
Right.
Unhoused. I'm shaking my finger at you. It's not homeless.
Not low income. It's affordable housing.
Affordable.
But I think Doge. I saw a headline. They're going to get rid of HUD.
Well, I haven't seen that one yet, but we'll see. I'm sure that the rhinos in Congress and President Trump will spend twice as much as they save, so we'll see which one, if they're going to pull out HUD or not.
Well, I had a rental one time, and I rented it to HUD, and I walked away very dissatisfied. They didn't do what they were said they were going to do. Here was the part. They were going to pay two-thirds of the rent mm-hmm. for this family I let move in, mm-hmm. Mom and dad and two kids. And lo and behold, after about 3 years, another kid showed up. He had just got out of jail, I think. And he moved in, and I get a letter from HUD. They let another person move in, and they violated their lease. From now on, you have to collect all of the rent. We're done.
Wow. Wow, because normally when you have Section 8 HUD housing, it's almost impossible to get the people out. So they actually gave you an out, which is pretty impressive, to be honest.
Well, no, I never collected any rent after that. I got beat up. Plus, they did about $5,000 worth of damage. I had a gas stove in there. They just traded it with somebody that was all something that was all rusted up and didn't even hook it up. I go down there, and there's some stove I never saw before in my life, not even hooked up. HUD, well, we don't cover that. So,
no.
I learned if you're going to be a landlord, don't be kind-hearted and gullible.
No.
Well, let's feather off into the safety meeting. We had the Board of Supervisors had two meetings, and they had all the different departments come in, sheriff, police, district attorney, probation, defender's office. And the gist of it is they all need more money.
Weird. Well, and you know, it's funny, Nick, is they say that they're short on judges, but two just got added, including the quid pro quo gentleman from Newsom. So they've actually added two judges. So now all of a sudden they're still short judges after they added two. And I bet due to the caseload and the way society is, we used to punish people and they used to stay locked up. Now we leave them back out, so they're coming through the system multiple times. I get that. But everything's always coming down to money.
Yes, absolutely. So I looked up some of the compensation some of these people were getting. And the low end, I believe, it might have been probation started at $61,000.
Yeah.
I think the – I left my – figures at home. I think the deputy sheriff started about, I don't know, 80. Prosecuting attorneys, deputy prosecuting attorneys around 80 or something like that. But when you went over a couple columns, they had extra pay and they had overtime. And they all had $20,000, $25,000 overtime, so it popped it up to $100,000 or more. But then I looked at benefits that were anywhere from 15 to 20, and then I looked at PERS, which was $15,000 to $25,000, and I got to thinking, if they're not making enough money to get by, why couldn't they go over and take half of that PERS money and put it in their gross income and deduct that from their retirement?
That'd be too easy.
Yeah, well, you know, as
well, but you know, here's the argument, though, Nick. When they do this, they go, oh, well, you know, a similar position in Sacramento or a similar position in Modesto is, you know, $120,000 base salary. And, yeah, the price of living down there is substantially more than it is here. I mean, go try to find a $350,000 house in those neighborhoods, and you're in the ghetto. Here you can buy a really nice house for $320,000, $350,000. That's very... middle level in terms of location, quality, neighborhood. Down there, you're buying a really crap hole house. So when they go in, oh, you know, we got to have the prevailing wage. We need to match all these other higher income counties. I just don't believe that.
Well, the thing is, they don't want to start with a lower end house. They all want to start with a $750,000 houses because they went to college.
Yes. Yeah,
and one gal, she was a, I think she was a prosecutor. She might have been a defense attorney, public defense. She was, she had three offers, considerably more offers to other counties, mm-hmm. but she came up here because she wanted to be close to her grandkids.
Yeah,
and now she's complaining she wants more money.
Well, you know, over the years, I've been doing real estate for 27 years here in Northern California, and I've had the fortune to sell, good fortune to sell a number of homes to folks from L.A. and or the Bay Area. And they took pay cuts to move up here. So, of course, the conversation's throwing houses is how much less they're going to be making. This is all before remote earning. And they were all kind of bitching and moaning about, well, we're going to take a pay cut, blah, blah. And I said, I'll bet you $100. In 1 year from today, you'll have more money on the bank, you will be happier, and you'll have more time with your family. Nobody's ever beat me on that bet yet. Because in a year, they didn't have to wait, you know, an hour and a half for a restaurant reservation. They weren't stuck in traffic for an hour each way to work. And because the cost of living was less, they actually were making more money on less income because the cost was lower up here. So... You know, we live, in my humble opinion, and I've been fortunate enough to have traveled a fair bit of the world. I think we live in the best place on planet Earth. And, you know, if it wasn't for Sacramento ruining it, this would be like the mecca of the world right now. It's, we've got everything here.
So the DA, she said, if we had a 1,000-bed jail, we wouldn't have the staff to fill it.
That was the argument during Basenko. They had that grant to build the jail then, and that was the whole argument then, is we can build it, but we have nobody to man it. So that hasn't changed at all. That's it. I've left you speechless, but that hasn't changed. That's exactly what they used when Basenko got the...
Well, my point is, if you put these people in jail, they wouldn't be reoffending. Your caseload wouldn't be so much.
Well, now there you go. See, now you've elaborated on that wisdom that is truly unique. I like that, Nick.
From Joe Biden's generation, nonetheless.
Well, you're not quite that old, so I will be nice to you today.
I might be getting dementia, though.
Oh, you've had that for a long time.
Thanks, buddy.
So, that's the old chicken and the egg thing, Nick, is if we could arrest these people and just lock these people up, and I'm being respectful for the word people because a lot of them are not, that would lessen, I mean, what was it, the chief of police, Barner, said that almost 80% of their calls involve the same people all the time. They're interacting all the time with the same people. Well, imagine if you can get those people off the street, the caseload for the cops would go down, the caseload for the DA would go down, the jail isn't, doesn't need to rearrest the same people 8 times. It would be they would arrest them 1 time and throw them in there. And the problem is, prison as a rule, people go to prison because they do bad things, as a rule.
It wasn't working.
Well,
remember that argument? It wasn't
it
working.
It wasn't working.
Well, we don't have them in prison anymore. Do you feel safer today, Home Skillet?
Exactly. Is it working that way? No, it's not. And recidivism is, I think, I had read another thing that said recidivism, even in the best intention, in the best countries, it's like 90-something percent. So
listen to this.
9 out of 10 people go to prison and jail. Reoffend as soon as they get out.
To make their statistics get better, Mike Johnson explained to us about recidivism.
Yeah.
Used to be, if a guy got out of prison, jail, whatever, and he went out and committed another crime, he was arrested, that was counted...
recidivism.
Okay, well, now they've changed that. He has to go through the court system and be convicted before it's considered recidivism.
Yeah.
And then you've got plea bargains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, well, let's listen to that first clip, which is clip number 6. I switched them all around. This is Steve Kahn. Kevin mentioned that maybe we could lighten up some of the load on the district attorney by plea bargains.
Ah.
And I think Kevin's kind of naive when it comes to plea bargains because they act... Like, and so Steve Kahn, they act like this is something that just came up. I noticed major plea bargains 25 years ago. Well, and they were pleading felonies down to misdemeanors and giving them, you know, 35 jail time. They wouldn't give them any fines because they couldn't pay their fines. They give them, you know, the length in the 15 years on probation are already on up to 18 years. Now you've got to behave yourself.
Yeah.
So let's play that first clip.
Bargain cry. That's the sign I likely will be carrying the next time Cry runs for any public office.
That's it. Plea bargain Cry, he calls him.
Now I'm speaking to the other supervisors because I doubt I'm going to get Cry after 2 days of testimony from experts on how to improve public safety in Shasta County. The biggest thing that Cry seems to have gotten out of this is that we need more plea bargain cases. Let's think about this for a moment. What would plea bargaining cases do? First of all, with criminals and their defenders knowing that Shasta County is plea bargaining more cases, there would be more cases progressing through the court system, getting close to trial, so that the criminal can press for a plea bargain. Then, once they got their plea bargain, instead of going to state prison, as they should, we likely would have to incarcerate them here in our full jail. For years, because it's serious crimes that would be involved in plea bargains. Then the ultimate result would be that a few years down the road, these serious offenders would then again be released to our streets. The ones that would be involved in plea bargaining are sex offenders, domestic violence, child molesters, robbers, serious assaulters, and many more serious violent offenders. Then after not spending enough time in jail, they would again be released to our streets to reoffend. Very possibly ending up in a loss of life or serious harm to individuals. This is what we would accomplish with more plea bargains. And when the first offender kills somebody, I will make a point of letting the public know again about plea bargain Cry. Because if he pushes for this and causes more plea bargains, he will be responsible. I have to thank you, Cry, for enlightening the public on the way you think. I can guarantee you Shasta County's public does not want more plea bargains.
Yes, sir, and remember something there. When seconds count, police are only minutes away.
Yes. Well, and what this guy obviously has not done his research, and I know Kevin has, is that is the whole mantra of the DA that we currently have, Stephanie. She plea bargains, I mean, an absolute crazy amount of cases already. This is not something that Kevin came up with. This is something, go back and look how many plea bargain cases the DA does on a yearly basis, and it is astronomical.
Goes back years and years. I was aware of it 25 years ago. I saw a gal that got arrested for her 5th or 6th DUI. Assault and battery on a highway patrolman, resisting arrest. It went on and on and on. She pled guilty to wet reckless.
Yeah.
No jail time.
Yep.
25 years ago, that's about the time the failed recall leader, Jeff Gorder, showed up. Oh. He was a prosecuting attorney.
Yeah.
He came up from down south. He's another one of them people that soiled their nest down there and came up here and are soiling ours, and he's doing a good job of it.
Oh, yeah.
Then he was in head of the defense, the public defender's office. I'll bet he's no stranger to plea bargaining.
No.
And he's getting the bad guys off, getting her off for a wet reckless.
Well, you know, again, here's this guy, you know, giving Kevin crying. I'm really beginning to think Kevin was the second shooter on JFK because he's been guilty of everything that turned out none of it was true. But the plea bargain thing is going on right now. It'd be interesting if we could find out before our next show what the actual plea bargain rate is. But I remember reading an article not terribly long ago when she was kind of getting the spotlight on her that that's one of the complaints is, you know, they don't go to trial because they don't have enough judges, air quote. And they were plea bargaining everything. And it wasn't there that case here recently where they didn't even file charges and that guy got right back out after he beat the hell out of his wife?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, you know, this guy who's speaking is obviously liberal, doesn't have a clue, facts are 100% wrong, and if he just did a little research and found out how much plea bargaining goes on already and how safe our community is today, because that's what these guys don't understand. The reason we have this problem is because we plea bargain and don't put these people in jail. And now he's sitting there saying, well, in the future, we're going to do that, and it's going to make it unsafer. It's already unsafe in our county, or our city, our town, and in the United States. It's not the same country we grew up in. There's my opinion, Nick.
So let's skip the Big D clip and go to the next clip. Can we do that? This is Benjamin, and he's running Kevin down. Who would have thought? And Kevin has a really good reply. I'm goofing Dave up by... Oh, this is Jenny. She's singing to the supervisors.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's not too bad.
Huh?
Dave likes this song. Here's Benny.
So I had a lot of thoughts. The discussion this morning about Mike Freeman actually disturbed me quite a bit because it shows there is a pattern of weaponization of, you know, cherry-picked facts. I actually want a PRA at this point of that contract that you keep espousing that they, you know, violated because I don't think it's exactly the way that you say it is. There have been times where I've heard this board, the board majority state that, you know, hey, they were perfectly in the right to do something, and then we find out that a bunch of, you know, legal stuff gets involved and that their analysis was incorrect. So, I just can't take you at face value, Cry, when it comes to stuff like that, you know. And then we have Thomas Toller, who just announced that he is retiring. You know, he's got to step down due to health issues. I know you guys are pretty happy about that. But I think it puts this board in a very tough position. They literally just got done with trying to, you know, put a stay on illegal, you know, actions that this elections system might have to take. And now you're going to be forced to kowtow to these individuals who are going to want you to put somebody like Clint Curtis in or follow the law and do it again and piss them off again. So that's your dilemma. You put yourself in this position because you like kowtowed to them for so long that you have to do stuff like pick between a lawsuit or doing something illegal. And the two shouldn't be a hard question, but because your supporters, the people who kicked you over that 50 mark for your recall, that's what you have at stake. That's what you're doing. Everybody can see that. They even know it. Why do you think they fight you on all of this stuff all the time?
And he struts off. Listen to Kevin's reply.
To make sure everybody knows, had Measure Q passed, this would go to a vote. But people rallied against it. So guess what? This board's going to appoint. And it could have went to a vote. I tried to put a measure forward that would give it to the people. And you guys, unbelievably, took it away from yourselves. Nice job.
And now they're complaining because the board is going to pick a new ROV.
Yeah.
When we could have voted on it.
Yep.
They didn't want to vote on it.
Oh, and they could have nominated some really good liberals, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, yeah, it would have been great.
I guess we're probably going to go to the break if Dave's ready. If he's not, we can play
one thing more lower than a sideshow freak It's a gritty, scum-sucking, pencil-neck geek. You see, if you take a pencil to home old lead, it looks like a pipe cleaner attached to a head. Add a buggy whip body with a brain that leaks. You got yourself a grit-eating pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek, grit-eating freak, scum-sucking beard with a lousy physique. He's a one-man, no-cut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Experience Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We're back. We're back. Nick is over there bugging Dave, the tech guy. So, Nick, you're the reason we had like 3-4 seconds of dead air. So I'm blaming you. So our people know who's really at fault for the lack of airtime. So there you go.
Okay. So have we got the clip for my... What are we doing here? Go ahead. Play what you're playing.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I know there are a lot of familiar faces who've occupied the space I'm currently occupying. I am not one of them, a relatively recent arrival in Shasta County and Redding. My name is Lance Starin. Early on, I did have an opportunity, however, to work as a poll worker in a very contentious and difficult election in this county in 2020. And at that time, of course, as you know only too well, the office was run by Kathy Darling and her very capable assistant, Ms. Francesca. So look, given that you now have an absence or a vacancy in this position, normally I would advocate for an open recruitment process. But as it turns out, such a process took place recently under your supervision and your guidance. Two excellent candidates were narrowed down for the final decision. One of those candidates occupied that office briefly and is now gone. It seems both irresponsible and, frankly, a violation of fiduciary duty for this board to even contemplate entering into another expensive, difficult, time-consuming, and contentious process when the obvious candidate remains in office and has operated competently despite any innuendo or unsubstantiated claims to the contrary. So look, the only reason it's pretty clear that this board did not select Ms. Francesca previously is because she failed a political test, not a test of competence or a test of executive ability. This office, more than any other office in this county, is not a political sinecure. And for this board to treat it as if it is not only disgraceful, but shows disrespect to the citizens of Shasta County who deserve to be well represented in the elections that come up every 2 years and more frequently. So I urge you, if you are going to enter into a process, the top candidate should be a directed appointment of Jessica Francesca to the office she has already competently and capably managed.
I've never heard of Jessica. Mm-mm.
So, competently, she ran the last election. When you put your ballot in a box, you don't see it again, and 30 days later, they tell us who won the election.
Yes.
Where's the competence there?
There is no competence. This guy's from the Bay Area, so it tells you that he absolutely has no brain whatsoever.
He's been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he comes in and talks to our board.
Talks down to us.
And he soiled his nest where he's from, and he's up here soiling our nest. This is the liberals we have coming.
Well, you know what competence is? Florida. Florida has an election, and you have the results by the next morning. Done. Over. There's no 2 weeks. There's no 3 weeks. It's done within 24 hours. That's competence.
Yes.
Simple. I mean, pretty simple.
Yes, but the thing is, it wasn't narrowed down to two candidates. There was five candidates there.
Yeah, well, why tell the truth?
Yes.
You don't need to tell the truth.
And he observed one election, and the very capable Kathy Darling Allen, why did she put a fence up to where we can't walk into our ROV office?
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that actually there was a lot of shenanigans going on under Kathy. So not competent. Probably criminal, in my opinion. Misprinted ballots that she allowed and knew about long beforehand. She was not the picture of competence.
But the thing is, Joanna, she has run the last two elections.
Yep.
And a large percentage of our population isn't happy with it. There was a lack of transparency. And, a large portion can be 25%. If 25% of your people aren't happy with your elections, what do you got? It reminds me of a third world country when I walk in there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and you know, it's funny, Nick, and I still can't quite...
And you've got to sign in.
Well, I can't quite figure this out, how we are theoretically, on paper, black and white, a two-thirds majority conservative Republican county, and yet liberals are running everything. How does that play out in voting, where we have a 2-to-1 advantage and we seem to keep losing? That's, to me, that's more of an issue than anything else.
Well, the conservatives have a job and they don't have time to pay attention.
We're working.
Yes, that's right. That shows from the people that show up at the meetings.
Well, you know, Nick, I wanted to kind of, since you brought up that this gentleman's from the Bay Area, I wanted to bring up something that to our people to listen. Make sure you're paying attention here, folks, because liberalism is cancer. It is stage 4 cancer. It's meant to destroy anything and everything it comes in contact with. And the Bay Area is about to deserve the cancer they are inflicting on themselves. So listen to this one. Starting in January 1st, 2027, 9 counties are going to ban gas water heaters. So if your gas water heater goes out after 2027, you have to go through the entire cost to bring it up to electric standards. So think about that. How many houses are currently gas water heaters? After 2027, you're not going to be able to replace it legally with a permit. So that means everybody's going to be leaving the county. Number two is in 2029, all gas furnaces, central heat, this and that, are also banned. So basically, they are at the point where they're going to self-inflict at a projected cost, $250,000 in house modifications to electrify the Bay Area. And the problem with that is that kind of nonsense spreads around. So when this guy talks, you know, when we know he's from the Bay Area, these folks have basically committed financial suicide by voting people in who are telling them they can't replace a basic utility or an appliance with something that's the same kind. And so now, starting in the next couple of years, the Bay Area is going to try to electrify, and they don't have a grid big enough to handle all the electricity. So
they're going to move up here.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're going to get people like this guy moving up here because they're not going to be able to afford fixing their house. So they're going to leave there and bring these ideas up here. So, you know, please, folks from the Bay Area, keep your liberalism down there. We don't need it up here.
You know, I had to clear out some trees at my house because my insurance said if I didn't, they would drop me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got his big nose in it. So he's taking out some more trees. Like,
oh, your neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah, like Lance. I mean, this guy, he thinks he is.
Well, they can talk down to you very quickly. They're very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have all the great ideas. Unfortunately, every single idea, every single policy, every single person they believe in is a failure, an abject failure. So, folks, Lance, I'm sure because you're going to speak down to us, you'll probably be publicly speaking more. So I'm sure we'll have more clips in the future. Thank you for having content for our show.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Hey, is it possible that we could tax the liberals differently?
I would love that.
They could pay for all the stuff that they want, but we don't have to pay for it. They could pay for it.
Well, then we wouldn't get taxed at all. I like that idea because because all of the stuff that we're paying, USAID and all that stuff, is their ideas. So I think that we should, in fact. That's a great idea. Run it by Doug LaMalfa, see if you can get it through Congress. I'm all about that.
You know, I've seen the liberals taking over this county. Mary Rickard, Tim Garman, Leonard Modi, let's see.
Aaron Reznor.
Julie Winter.
Who's
Scott,
Tanessa.
Yes.
Odette, yes.
And I see our town turning into third world.
We're turning into San Francisco.
Well, I think it's even worse.
Well, I don't know about it's worse. I mean, I see the pictures from San Francisco, and I don't think we're there yet, but we are getting on a good slope to it. So, yes, keep those things up, Lance. Thank you for condescending and lying about the facts. And the reality is Kathy Darlin Allen, I think is what her name, or Allen. She has two first names. She was not competent. She was not good. And she was an uber liberal who skewed and did things that I think were unethical and possibly on the other side of the law.
And then another thing about the ROV and their counting, they've got them old gals up there counting. I think that...
they're not old. They're called advanced age. Experience.
And there's a good percentage of them that were in the League of Women Voters. You remember the League of Women Voters? They didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore at the start of their meetings.
Why would you?
In fact, I was at the last supervisors meeting, and there were five people around me that wouldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance, stood there with their hands to their side. You had Annalise Peirce. You had R.V. Sheeve. You had a couple others. You had that Indian kid that's apprenticing under Annalise Peirce. You had Christian Gardner, who's always up there telling us how to fix our county.
Yep.
And I just think that's despicable.
Well, you know, since they hate the country so much, because liberals hate our country, don't even – they hate it. Go to another country. Go to a liberal bastion. That's great. I mean, you know, head over to Europe. I mean, they're great about not standing up for anything in their country. That's why, hopefully we pull out of NATO and then those people have to stand up for something finally and they're going to find out how hard it is to actually defend freedom. That's my opinion.
Do we have any clips back?
Where do you want to go here?
Let's see. The
I got the right meeting, so just tell me the time.
Okay. Let's see. 156:56. To 158:59. So it'll take a second to get that up. This is Benny again. This is a good one. And then we've got a clip of President Trump. Benjamin's going to tell us why we don't want as a paper voter rolls. Go ahead.
Opposed to just trying to unilaterally make decisions that are illegal in our county. Some are somewhat controversial. I mean, the election stuff, there are some elements to it that actually seem, like, logical. Like, as I'm reading through this, I was like, okay, voter ID authority, like, I get it. Now, does it invalidate the mail-in ballots? I know that's a big source of contention. They're going to want to do that. And then there's also this legal implications for the ballot date, ballot receipt deadline. Now, the problem with that is that, if a ballot shows up after election day but was postmarked before, that could not be counted because you're trying to do same day elections. So even if this passes as an SB, it's a legal landmine. So it's written poorly. It needs to be sort of to take into account all of the laws that currently exist. You know, the voter roll confirmation, I actually do think that the voter rolls need some modernizing, but I am completely against an all-paper voter roll because if you ask me, like, that is actually the prime way to do fraud. I know this because individuals that do things, quote, off the books are the best way to keep things away from, like, the, you know, federal government. So why would you want to have a completely non-digital, and what I mean by digital is a trusted system. I don't know if you know what a trusted system is, but it's a series of checks and balances so that when the data changes, you can see what it changed to and from. So that's actually where you should be focusing. You should be focusing on a trusted system for things like voter registration rolls.
And I imagine they'd be happy to set up a trusted system for us.
Oh, I'm sure. And I mean, hacking never happens. There's nothing electronically that ever happens that compromises data ever.
Okay, so I've got a clip coming up of an executive order President Trump signed.
Yep.
That touches on this. Are we ready?
Well, you know, it's funny for this guy who obviously is clueless and brain dead. Florida has the oldest population in the United States by a factor of a lot. And yet somehow those old folks on their golf carts managed to get voted and counted in 24 hours. There's no major brain surgery here, folks. It's already being done with a population of advanced age folks, which I'm quickly approaching. So this idea and this argument that we can't do it in California shows the stupidity of liberals. It's being done successfully in other parts of the United States with no major issues.
Yes. So let's hear that, President Trump.
Next level gaslighting, in my opinion. In another story, President Trump signing a big executive order yesterday called the Preserving and Protecting the Integrity of American Elections. The order invokes sweeping changes to the election process, cleaning it up. That's what it does, simplifying the process. The biggest change requires an official government ID proving you're a citizen, a U.S. citizen, in order to register to vote. States will have to follow these rules in order to get federal election funding. The order also updates voting machine standards. Every vote going forward will need a paper record, a paper ballot copy, so that you as the voter can check your vote, that it was counted correctly. It also prevents states from counting votes after election day. So no more blue states changing the rules weeks before the election, allowing 14 days or 21 days in some cases to cast your ballot. Here was Trump yesterday explaining why this EO is so important to him. Watch this.
Lastly, sir, we have an executive order for your attention on the very important.
Hey, that was great. So that explains to you why we need paper voter rolls.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it's something that up for 200 and something years was all we had, and it was fine.
You can go and make sure your vote was counted the way you voted.
Yeah.
Benjamin doesn't want that. He wants you to be able to push a button on your computer.
And be told that theoretically it might have been counted the way you voted.
I had two instances last election where the people's vote wasn't counted.
Yeah.
And I took proof. I took it to the election committee. I give it to the sheriff. I don't think they paid a lot of attention.
Well, now, aren't you a high-profile public figure out there with the people hobnobbing? Didn't you get like 3 ballots sent to your house?
Well, actually, I got 2. I voted, and then they sent me a second ballot. I didn't vote it.
Well, and why? How hard is it that we can't just go verify somebody lives at and they're alive? It's 2 years between each election. It's not like it's every 2 weeks we have an election. They have 2 years, and basically it would be pretty easy to find out death certificates, so that's pretty easy. That's an easy look every single day. Death certificates get filed. That's just a requirement. And then basically looking at houses that are transferring through the county recorder's office. Now, people who move and leave and they're renters, that might be an extra step, but it's not that freaking hard to verify if people live at the house. It's not that hard. We can do that. We got plenty of time to do that, as a matter of fact.
That's right. And there was an instance where a lot of people didn't live here that voted.
Well, and then they were showing, what was it? There was people who had registered and their address was a business address, which you can't have either.
It was between two businesses, the Shell's, or the taco shop and McDonald's on Cypress. It was between the two businesses. That was their home.
Yeah, that's exactly. They were there
and
there most nights.
One was a pine tree on the other side of the Indian reservation, on the other side of Big Bend.
Yep.
He lives behind the pine tree.
You know, it's funny as it's classic how the liberals they will resort to any and all things to try and tilt something to their thing, their side. I was coming through and reading this, and it talks about that the liberals have resorted to lawfare to try and stop President Trump. And I thought that this was a very interesting thing that it suggests that elements of the American government are now openly in conflict with one another. In this century, 67% of injunctions issued by the nation's nearly 700 federal judges were issued temporarily to restrain the executive actions of Donald Trump. Of those injunctions, 92% of the judges were appointed by Democrat presidents. So we have resulted to the point where liberals are throwing the temper tantrum, and they're going to use every tool in their box to destroy our society. And if we don't stand up and just start calling these people out for what they are, they will win. I mean, we really need to stand up to these folks that go up there and lie, mislead, don't tell the truth in terms of what's actually happening. And if we don't, we're as guilty.
You know who you just described?
Yeah.
Jeff Gorder, the leader of the failed recall.
Yeah. And apparently he hasn't figured out that he lost.
No. He thinks he's a driving force here. He's recruiting.
Good.
He might be going to San Francisco and bringing some more of those idiots up here like Lance.
Well, you know, he doesn't need to bring them up. San Francisco will gladly put them on a bus and drop them off in our backyard.
But what I was getting at is, please, the people counting our votes up there, putting them into machines, I wonder if they're technologically challenged or if they really know how everything works. We had observers see them putting the same ballots through a couple of times, no chain of custody. They wouldn't let them observe. They had to stand in the hall and look at a monitor.
Yep.
Laura Hobbs, one of the nicest people I know, they were just rude as heck to her because she would ask questions in a polite manner.
Yep.
And I just think that we need to get some fresh blood in the ROV and move on.
Well, you know, that's the problem, is liberals can't stand the light of day. You can't ask them questions on why are they doing this, why are they doing that, and they react violently angry all the time. And this ROV should be a very non-political position. Unfortunately, Kathy, the previous, really made it political. And now this guy, Toler, first off, not very impressed, didn't run a good election overall.
Well, he didn't run it.
Well, I'm just saying, didn't run it overall. And he knew he was going to get this position and then retire or quit or whatever the situation is. Folks, get somebody in who can actually just go 1 + 1 = 2, be it a blue 2, be it a red 2. That's all we're asking. Just that we can sit there and say, these numbers added up, this candidate won. We may not agree with the candidate and their position, but if they legitimately won, the people have spoken. That's what America is based on. How hard can that be?
I came up with the idea that we ought to have high school kids come in shifts of 2 hours and count votes.
Well, you're not a very...
The honor roll,
yeah.
Kids, get extra credit, learn about the elections.
Yep.
Instead of people your age, they get tired after a couple hours. They have to hire an assistant to tell them what they're doing.
Well, you know what, Nick? I will give you credit. When we had Clint Curtis on here, I think it was Clint, the gentleman who programmed, who made the original Dominion-based, basically, fraud machine for voting for Jeb Bush down in Florida, which now become, you know, the programming hack. But you had a really simple way to run an election. 3 people for each measure or each candidate. You had, you know, a liberal advisor or overseer. You had a conservative. Then you had somebody that just watched. And you just basically, the ballot would be handed in, I guess, to you and me. And we'd be looking at ballot measure 1. And we would put in a little 1 blue, 1 red, yes, no. And the 3rd person just verified the vote was good, and you moved it on. And you could go through, and I think you guys talked about you could do that every 7 seconds is what it was about.
And it was
foolproof. You had 3 people watching, and you only had to worry about 1 line. You didn't care about the rest of the ballot. You would have enough people to do each one of the ballots, and you just go, yep, no, blue, red, and move it on. And that seems so simple.
Yes. Hey, we got a clip. We've got Big D. She's always got a good opinion. Watch how she starts out.
There's a lot of people who cannot just get up here and stand on this line. You know, we have medical problems. So
I'll leave that one alone.
On this item here, I think it's first thing, I think it should be important to be asking all of yourselves, who's going to be running the election department? Is it going to be Patrick Jones? Because I understand he's going to be in there. So here's the other thing on the SB 405, restoring local control. Whose control? On what, whatever you guys want, dictate the voter rights of people. SB 406 is the ballot by, you know, one day voting day. How are you going to do that with people who have disabilities? That's actually, you have to consider that, because if you violate any laws, you're going to be facing a lot of lawsuits, as you are now. I just heard on the radio somebody else filed a lawsuit against the county because of some freedom of speech. So how many more lawsuits are we going to continue going into? Regarding this voter ID, that's great because it's good to know who's voting. But you got a lot of issues. You're not even, you guys are not even thinking about the laws that you're going to be violating. All you're going to do, think you want to be like the number one. You want to be better than freaking Los Angeles, Orange County, this bullshit. You know, that's what it comes down to, because Kevin Cry wants to push his agenda. He has people who does his dirty work to come up here and to complain about it, like Leslie Moore, whatever her name is. She thinks she's someone, you know, she thinks she's someone like Moms from Liberty comes up here who thinks, you know, oh, I'll work with you. I work like she's somebody. She's nobody. We all have a right to vote. But we should not have to fall under your control of being a dictator, violating the rights of the people.
Tie it in.
Why don't you just zip it?
Tie it into it.
Zip it, blockhead.
Tie it into it.
You know, this is ridiculous that you continue to violate our rights and you continue to do this. And, you know, Chris, you make faces when people come up here talk about voting rights and all this. I see you moving around, you squirm, and it's pretty sad. You're not willing to listen to the voters. Equally, you're not listening to the voters. It's only your group, only a certain group of people come up here and talk about what they want. It's not the whole freaking county, 200,000 people. Damn. Get it straight, Kevin.
She's like an internal combustion motor, you know. It takes a while to get the motor really revving up and going in full gear, you know, hitting on all eight. You know, the thing is, she thinks Patrick Jones is going to be the next ROV. And I think that's a possibility, because she listens and she hears things. For instance, when Tom Toler was nominated, or when he got to be the ROV, when he was appointed, I was walking out and I said to Lori Jones and Tammy, I don't know her last name, I said, does he look like he's even going to live through the term? And she was sitting on the other side, and she has just run with that.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't. I told you he wasn't healthy enough. I told you. She just keeps going on and on. So she hears these things and runs with them.
Well, and, you know, again, there is Dolores saying the same old BS. How are people with disabilities and blah, blah, blah? Florida does it already with no freaking problem. And you want to talk about people who have disabilities, go to Florida. That's where all the old folks go. And they're doing it just fine. Let's go get the model there that works. And I would suspect if we match it, we'll probably have pretty reliable results on the same night.
If you're disabled and you can't get there, you're entitled to an absentee ballot.
Yes.
It's just got to be received by Election Day.
Yep. I don't get how you and I were listening to that diatribe, and I'm just rolling my eyes going, there she is again. And then she throws out, and this again, another liberal tactic is, oh, and Patrick Jones. Well, maybe you've heard something I have not. Not that I'm not tied in that politically, but they throw stuff at the fan and they just see where it spreads.
I bet she overheard a conversation or something, would be my wager.
Well, I mean, Patrick's already got a business. I'm not sure he wants to take on a second 40-hour week job.
He's a constitutionalist. He would do a good job. I would vote for him.
Yeah, I think he actually would do a good job. I really do think.
He's honest and he has his ideas, and they're usually really good ideas.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, before we go, I saw this poster you have over here. Do you want to tell the folks about this? Just help them out.
No.
You want me to do it?
There you go.
Well, Nick, all right. So, hey, Nick's got this poster that on April 12th, from 11 to 10 p.m., 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., so an entire day, Palisadro's Frontier Day is going to be happening. It is at Bishop Quinn School, or Park, I guess, Bishop Quinn Property. So, anyways, we just thought we'd help them out. It's a fundraiser, and so let's get people out there.
And that's it.
Have a great day. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
I'm listening to it going.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.